Well, my subject today on Manifest is the prophetic mystery of the threshing floor. Now, look at me very carefully. There are a lot of you that feel like that you have been crushed lately. There are some of you that are going through things and you have no understanding as to the reason or the purpose that it's happening. Some of you have been hit from the blind side. Some of you feel like that you have been ambushed. Others of you are just going through the weirdest battles you've ever gone through. And I'm going to show you something that very few ministers talk about. Most of the time when we are dealing with an issue, whether it's a spiritual issue, a physical issue, a financial issue, we consider it something that the enemy has strategized or plotted, that he has now manifested, that has become an attack to us. But I'm going to show you a spiritual principle from the Bible that may change your understanding of why you were going through what you're going through right now. And if you're not going through anything, you need to hear this teaching anyway, because I will guarantee you one thing. Sooner or later, you're going to have to go through something that you don't like. For real. It's part of living. Matthew chapter 3, 10 through 12. Listen to what this scripture says. Now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Then I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. This is John the Baptist talking. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And that means I'm not even worthy to unloose his sandals. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Here's the verse. Whose fan, and this was a wooden instrument, it would look like a pitchfork made out of wood, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. That floor is not the floor of a house or a business. It is a threshing floor made out of stone. He shall purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff, and that's what comes off of the wheat when the stalks are crushed. And there'll be a picture behind me. You can see this with unquenchable fire. Now, let me say something up front that's very important. That is this, that prior to the return of the Lord, what we term it the rapture of the church, there has to come a time of separation. When you begin to read the New Testament, you will discover many verses in the four Gospels that deal with separation. There are fish being caught in a net that have to be separated from what we would call, or what Jewish people would call, the kosher and the non-kosher fish, the ones you can eat and the ones that you cannot eat. There is the parable of the wheat and tare we'll talk about in a moment. There is the parable of the separation of the sheep and the goat, the goats that go to the left side and the sheep that are brought to the right side. So there has to be a separation of the sheep and the goat. Now, the reason I'm telling you this about a separation is this, that before the Lord can return, before Christ can come for his church in the body of Christ, there must come a separation within the body of Christ. There is a real remnant of Bible-believing godly people, and there is a group of people within the body of Christ that really do not have a true, updated, personal covenant or relationship with him. They are religious, but lost. They are Christian in name, but not Christian in action. And I'd like to say it this way. There will be a separation between true believers and seasonal believers. What is a seasonal believer? A seasonal believer is someone who goes to church on Easter, or we would call it Passover, but Easter, or they go to church on Christmas because their grandchildren are in a Christmas play. They're just seasonal believers. If it's convenient, they love God. If it's convenient, they talk about Jesus. If it helps them in a business deal, they claim to be Christians. But here's the problem in the United States, especially, but it's not just here, it's in Canada, it's all over the world, is the lukewarm church. Seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, and the seventh church is the church of Laodicea, which is called the lukewarm church, and they're not hot and they're not cold. They're just kind of existing in between somewhere. And as a result of this, the lukewarm church, or the people who are part of the lukewarm church, are in the church, but they have so much carnality and so much of the flesh and so much of just not even knowing what the scriptures teach. And let me say it this way. I'm going to say it this way. With all of the social media that's out there, the people in the lukewarm church react to information instead of revelation. I'm going to say it again. They react to information instead of revelation. They see something posted. Immediately they get their laptop out and they just start responding. And they don't know if it's true or false. They don't know if it's embellished or not. They don't even know the person they're talking about. But they respond to information, but they do not respond to divine biblical revelation. Because for you to receive divine biblical understanding, Paul said the eyes of your understanding must be opened. So what God has to do is he has to get out of us and out of you those things that's called chaff in Matthew chapter 3. And you see a picture of the chaff right behind me. It's the straw that is a part of the wheat once the harvest is gathered. Once the heat is the wheat is collected, it's laid on a threshing floor. This is the way they did it in the time of the Old Testament. This is how they did it in the time of the New Testament. And that imagery behind you is a threshing floor. It's normally a natural stone, and they put blocks around it, and they lay the wheat on it, and that's where they begin the separation process. Now, let me say this to you. There's going to be a separation process in three levels in the future. One will be before the tribulation, and that separation will come in the body of Christ between what I call the sheep and the goat and the wheat and the tares. Separation coming. The second separation is going to be during the time of the tribulation, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. And the third will be at the very end of the seven-year tribulation, called at the end of the age. One of the reasons that you've got to have three separations is because in Israel there are seven festivals, and out of the seven festivals, there are three of those festivals that all men over 20 years of age were to leave their farms or estates, and they were to come up to Jerusalem and celebrate three of the festivals out of the seven. Those three were Passover, which included the unleavened bread, 7 days of that, Pentecost, which was a full day celebration, and then the last one was the Tabernacles, and Tabernacles lasted for one complete week. So Passover, the first one, Pentecost, the fourth one, Tabernacles, the seventh one, were the three that you were to leave your farm. Now, each one of them, there was an offering that was brought. For example, at Passover, it was the lamb. At Pentecost, you had the wheat harvest. And at Tabernacles, you had the fruit, olives and grapes and that, things of that nature. And it also was represented by dried fruit. Now, listen to me carefully. This is very important. Each of these three festivals that they were to attend, that the men were to attend, had a separation with each item in the harvest. First of all, Passover was a barley harvest. And when you brought barley, you had to winnow the barley. Barley is very soft. In other words, I'm talking about that what's around it is. And so you could throw it up in the air and the wind would catch the chaff away, which you didn't want to mix into the actual barley. Pentecost, however, was during Passover. Passover was wheat harvest, but the wheat has a very hard shell on it, and it had to be rolled. I'll talk about that in a minute, hopefully, and to separate the chaff from the grain. And of course, to keep the chaff from hanging around, you always took the chaff and burned it in a fire and got rid of it completely. At the time of Tabernacles, there was a separation where the fruit or the olives or the grapes had to be plucked or removed from the tree. And the way that they took olives was they shook the olive branches to cause the olives that were ripe to fall in a net that was on the ground. So every major harvest of Israel, the Passover, the Pentecost, Tabernacles, had something involving either shaking or involving separating so that the grain or the fruit could be separated from the tree or from the chaff. Now, it's very, very important that you understand that. Now, let's talk for a moment about each separation. Because one of the words used in the New Testament, it's also found, by the way, in the Old Testament, but it's definitely used in the New Testament, is the word tribulation. And the word tribulation has many different meanings. It's used 19 times in the English translation of the Bible. The New Testament uses the Greek word thlipsis, and it means severe trial, severe anguish, severe pain, severe persecution, or very, very severe trouble. Now, I want to read this to you, and I have put this in my notes, what the original word would have meant way back in the ancient days, okay? Here's a quote. It meant tying a person with a rope and laying them on their back and putting a boulder on top of their chest until the weight of the boulder eventually crushed them where they could not believe. The Greek word refers to a crushing situation, unbearable crushing pressure, or not able to hold up under the weight that you're sensing. The word is also used of a narrow place that hems somebody in. In other words, it's like having walls on either side. You're trying to escape. You can't go backwards. You can't go forward. You can't go to the left. You can't go to the right. And excuse me for have a little water in my eyes here. So you're hemmed in. Romans chapter 2, 8 and 9. I want to read this to you. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there comes indignation and wrath, tribulation, there's the word, and anguish. And upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Now, there is a time known as Great Tribulation, which lasts for 7 years, Daniel 9:27, 3.5 years and 3.5 years, according to the book of Revelation. And this time frame is called the Great Tribulation. There are also words used in the New Testament for tribulation that do not refer to the Great Tribulation, but they refer to the distress that you have to go through as a believer. John 16:33, in the world, believers will have tribulation, but be happy because Jesus has overcome the world. Acts 14:22, in the life of a believer, the Bible says you enter into the kingdom through much tribulation. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says this, that Paul glorified tribulation because he knew that through his tribulation, it worked patience and patience worked experience. Revelation 1 and 9, John said he was a companion of those who were in tribulation in the kingdom of God and through the patience of Christ. So let me just say this, that when John addresses the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he mentions the word tribulation. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, the church of Smyrna, he says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, however you're spiritually rich. Chapter 2 and verse 10, the same church, he says this, you will have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful to the end. The church at Thyatira in Revelation 2:22, John addressed them and he says this, you have allowed a Jezebel to teach, therefore I will cast them, meaning this fake prophetess and the men with her, into great tribulation. So we have to separate in the New Testament, that's what I'm trying to do here, we have to separate the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:21, Matthew 24:29, Romans chapter 2 and 10, the Great Tribulation, which is the 7 years at the end of the age, from the tribulation word used, which in context refers to Christians or believers who are under very, very, very extreme persecution and very, very extreme type of heartache. Now, the title of this message is The Threshing Floor. And as I talk, let's get a good shot. There we go. So the threshing floor, here's what it was. It was a stone base, like a natural stone on the ground, 50 to 100 feet in diameter. It was in the open air on cleared ground. The stone had to be smooth. It was often a flat natural stone, which you see here. And it was usually up on a hill most of the time. If they had a hill, if they didn't, they put it in the valley, but on a hill, because the wind would blow and it would blow this excessive stuff away, which is called the chaff. And in Jeremiah chapter 51 and 34, here's a verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while and the time of her harvest shall come. So here's what I've got to tell you about what's coming. First of all, there is a collection of a harvest of saints of God and believers who are overcoming saints at what is called the rapture of the church. That's why in the churches that John addressed in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he says to him that overcome. He's talking to the individual. He's talking to the church in general, but he's also talking to the individuals in the church. If you overcome, overcome. He mentions overcome seven times, and that Greek word means a super overcomer, someone that has endured tests, you've endured trials, you've endured pressure, and now you have been able to overcome and make it to the very end. So that is a group that before the tribulation will have to overcome trials and tests, and they will have to go through the threshing to purify them and make them ready for the return of Christ for his church. The second group is in the middle of the tribulation. And in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist has a threshing that is taking place because there's a harvest of there's a huge Jewish harvest in the middle of the seven-year tribulation. And the Antichrist is trying to annihilate them. So they have to go through the wilderness. They have to go through all sorts of trials. You can read that in Revelation chapter 12. So they have to endure a threshing as well on the threshing floor. The final one is at the end of the age where there is a separation. And I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about it before the coming of the Lord for the church. And I'm going to talk about it at the end of the age because it's happening at both time frames technically. And that is this, what the Bible talks about, the wheat, separation of the wheat and the tare. In Matthew 13, there's a harvest. And the Bible says the harvest is at the end of the age. So harvest time refers to not just grain that you're looking at here. It refers to souls being saved. And that's the, it's using that like an analogy of the wheat in the fruit of the earth, the precious fruit of the earth, James chapter 5, and the Lord waits for the precious fruit of the earth for it's ripened, and he gets the latter rain, and he comes and receives the fruit. The fruit there represents the souls and the people. The harvest is at the end of the age. Now, John said in Matthew 3 and 12, Jesus has a fan in his hand. Now, not a fan like you wave with, you know, when you're hot, the old days, but he has a fan in his hand, and with this fan, he will purge the floor, or he will purge the harvest floor, and he will pick up with the fan this stuff that's the leftovers and throw it into the fire and burn it into the fire. Now, in the parable of the wheat and tares, which is what I'll talk about for a minute, the wheat is the children of the kingdom according to the parable. The tares are the children of Satan or the children of this world. And it says this, in harvest, if you've ever seen a wheat field, you'll understand this, they grow together. You can't even tell them apart. But as it gets closer to the harvest time, God sends angels, this is important, to cause a separation of the tare from the wheat. Now, we see people today that they get hurt, they get offended, they get angry, and they just leave a church. They have stuff in them, which is a bad attitude, bitterness, unforgiveness, strife, all that, but they won't separate from it. So therefore, they are a tare that the angels of God has removed from the field. Because if you leave a tear in a church, you know what they do? They tear it up. Tears tear churches up. It's exactly right. Because a tear, and the Greek word is a darnel, which is a poisonous weed. It looks like wheat, but if you eat it, it's going to make you sick. The root is interconnected to other people in the church. So when you try to pull it up, the tear will tear out the root of the wheat. And always, have you ever noticed this? Good people follow bad people when they leave a church. You're saying, why did they leave with that bunch? You know, they were belligerent. They were angry. They were mean. Because you got interconnected with them. And when they left, you left. And this happens so many times to people. So let me share something with you. I got just a few minutes left. How do you know a tear? Here's the ways you know a tear. Number one, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Number two, they resist any truth you're trying to present to them, and they stiffen up and walk carnally instead of in truth. Number three, they are self-willed. They are proud. They do not repent. They never tell anybody they're sorry. And so they're stiff-necked, as God would say in the Old Testament. Number four, a tear will accept false doctrine, universalism, there is no hell, tolerance toward iniquity, like there's nothing wrong with it. Number five, a tear never sees a need to say they're sorry. Now, they want you to say you're sorry. They want you to repent. They want to make a fool out of you, but they're never going to say they're sorry because they're stiff-necked and they won't do it. Number five, a tear, according to folks from Kansas that own wheat fields, when the wind blows, wheat will blow with the wind. The wind represents the Holy Spirit, but the tear is just standing there, just stiff. And it goes back to being stubborn, to being stiff-necked, and things of that nature. Now, here's what has to happen. In the Roman time, when they wanted to take this grain that had wheat in it, they used a board called a tribulum. Made out of woods. It had stones or metal underneath, and the man stood on it, and an animal he had a rope connected to an animal. As he stood there, it would ride over top of this, and it would crush and separate the chaff from the wheat. And he would get later on, they would throw that chaff up, the wind would take it, the wheat would be left, and they would gather the wheat to the house or to the barn. Again, in Latin, That board is called a tribulum. I've actually seen those at Nazareth Village. I believe it was Nazareth Village in Israel, somewhere over there. And we showed that to people. So the word tribulation comes out of, if we look at the Latin part, that board that crushes the wheat to separate what is in it. Now, there are believers that are going to go to the threshing floor. There are churches that are going to go to the threshing floor. Finally, the world will go to the threshing floor. Now, why? Because believers make up the church. The church makes up the body. So I want you to understand something, that the purpose of a believer going through a sifting may be a chastisement to get stuff out of you. You might know it was there and you never dealt with it. You might have never known it was there till this happens. And God is purging you, preparing you for his return. He doesn't do it in anger. He doesn't chastise you in anger. He does it because he loves you, because the Bible says as many as he loves, he chastises. Number two, the church is on the threshing floor because 1 Peter 1 and 7 says we have to go through the fire, come forth like pure gold. Revelation 3 and 10 said, buy me gold tried in the fire. And at the end, the world is going to go to the threshing floor. And here's the reason why. Listen to the verse. Judgment must first begin with the house of God. God has to judge the church first before he ever judges the world. So if you see churches or ministry going through stuff, some of it could be true and some of it may not be true. When you see them going through it, God loves them and is preparing them for more fruit, more harvest, more souls. That's the end result, and it'll happen. Man, I have some more notes. I'm sorry I ran out of time. I should preach a little faster, but please watch this. This is very special. We only ran this for about 4 weeks. This is the last week you can get this till we go to a brand new offer next week.
Are you ready to unlock profound prophetic insights and explore the mysteries of God's divine plan? Perry Stone invites you to dive into an extraordinary teaching resource that unravels ancient truths, spiritual warfare strategies, and end-time revelations. Introducing a dynamic collection of audio teachings designed to equip and inspire believers in this prophetic season. This powerful prophetic resource features three insightful audio CD sets, plus a bonus CD packed with surprising revelations about the rapture. The first teaching of the two CD set is titled The Battle of the Gods and Beasts and dives into a stunning exploration of ancient false gods and their modern-day spiritual implications. Discover how Christ countered the dangerous idols of the Roman and Greek empires and how these revelations impact spiritual warfare today. The second CD examines the future two beasts rising, revealing how two demonically influenced men will fulfill key apocalyptic prophecies. The second two CD resource, Yahweh's Prophetic Clock, enters the much-debated subject of how God is counting prophetic time to establish the timing of the rapture. This teaching explains the mystery linked with the number 7 and the numerous other prophetic cycles and patterns. This eye-opening two-hour teaching provides one of the clearest explanations of God's prophetic calendar, offering fresh insights that will deepen your understanding. The third audio teaching, When Angels Show Up, includes two compelling messages. The first reveals the angelic covenant of protection, an essential understanding for navigating this dangerous season. The second message, How to Release Angels During Prophetic Seasons, teaches how to access heavenly messengers during times of increased demonic and angelic activities as prophecies are being fulfilled. This is an important revelation on angels. We are also including a bonus CD, The Chaos of the Rapture. Within 48 hours after the rapture, the chaos of Revelation 6 will be unleashed. Learn how millions of people missing and the atomic effect of the rapture and resurrection will send the world into darkness and complete confusion. This comprehensive teaching package includes three teachings, six CDs, plus the unique single CD on the chaos of the rapture, offering over 7 hours of prophetic teaching. For a limited time, you can receive this prophetic teaching package for a donation of $30 or more. Call us toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or order online at perrystone.org. Additionally, you can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose your gift of $30 or more to request CD package offer YP-147. This package is also available as a digital download on our website. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the program. This is the last week on the Manifest telecast to be able to get the offer. Now, this is usually just in the U.S. only because of the postage and the things it entails. However, we now have set up what's called digital downloads. All of this is in digital format, and you can purchase it from anywhere in the world, actually, wherever you're at in Europe or wherever, you can purchase it. And I found out that now they do an exchange of the currency where you purchase it in your currency and it's transferred here in the United States. I don't know how all of that works, okay? But we have teams that work on that. So I'm so glad now that a lot of you will be able to get some of our material that may have in the past not been available. We also are, you're going to see in a little bit, the advertisements coming up about Warrior Fest, which and the Prophetic Summit. Now, these fill up very fast. So if you haven't registered and you really are planning to attend, please do so. It's free registration, but you cannot get into the building without an armband. And we have great security there checking on things and keeping up with things. And we appreciate our security team and also our volunteer people as well. Back next week with new teaching and some new material for you.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.